Good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe from the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. We have this Bible study program Monday to Friday from 1 to 1:15 each weekday, and we're in three studies, if you could call that, at one time. One week, Brother Mark is in Ephesians. Another week, our Brother Jeff is in the book of Romans, and I'm going through currently 1 Timothy. So today, we're going to begin the week again in 1 Timothy, and we're looking at chapter 2. But let's begin with a word of prayer, then we'll look at verse 7. Father, again, it's a tremendous opportunity and a great joy to open your word. We thank you for those that are listening. We thank you above all for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give him the honor and the praise and the glory, and we pray that everything that is spoken will be spoken at the appropriate time and from the appropriate place and to the people that need to hear it today. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, as we're looking overall at 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus, these three books together is referred to in recent decades and centuries as the pastoral epistles. These two individuals were written to by the Apostle Paul as individuals that he was looking to encourage. I'd like to remind one, let's not assume that these were one-man ministers, as when we get into chapter 3, we look a little bit more at the area of shepherding and oversight, but Paul was encouraging these individuals. As we see this man Timothy, we could turn to Acts chapter 20 and to note one place, James 5, 1 Peter 5, Acts chapter 10, just to mention a few, or I should have said it's Acts 13 instead of 10, but generally throughout the New Testament, it's overwhelming to see that there's a group of men generally leading a local assembly when we see the biblical pattern, not a one-man ministry. So let's not assume that Timothy was the one speaker, one leader and shepherd at a local church. We see that he was an extension of the of Paul's ministry. Timothy and Titus helped in the area of giving out the word. Paul would encourage them to be steadfast, to stir up the gift that's in them. We see that, such as in Acts chapter 20, that there was a group of men that were leading that local assembly at Ephesus. And, of course, we see that Timothy at one time was at Ephesus, so we could put the two together and realize that Timothy was not the only shepherd at Ephesus. And we see Titus, how he as well was encouraged by Paul to point out elders, a group of men to take the oversight there. So again, we should not assume that Titus was the preacher at Crete, but instead that he was an extension of Paul's ministry. And we see today that in the truest sense of apostles, that there are not apostles such as we see the Apostle Paul and those that are in the New Testament today. We are not in the apostolic age as far as physical apostles going about to and fro doing the work of God, but God had the apostles there at the foundation, at the beginning of the church age, as we see in Ephesians 2 and 20. But we mention that because in verse 7 today, when we look at this man Timothy, what he is being told by Paul, after Paul had mentioned that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, he says then in verse 7, wherefore I am ordained a preacher, or an herald, and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now, when we see this word preacher, again, it's the word for herald. Paul said he was ordained, pointed out to be a preacher, an apostle, and also the fact that he says he speaks the truth. We would like to look at that. And he says he does not lie. Now, a teacher of the Gentiles, we know that Peter was called to speak to the nation of Israel. And then we see in the latter part of the book of Acts where it becomes primarily the Apostle Paul that is emphasized as far as the one proclaiming the word. Paul emphasized, I should say, the person of Christ to the Gentiles, where in the early parts of the book of Acts, we see largely men such as Peter speaking to the nation of Israel, beseeching his brethren in the flesh that they might turn to Christ. And we see that Paul has a great desire for those that are of his kinsmen. We see in Romans 9:10-11 where he shows such great love for those that are his kinsmen according to the flesh, those that are his Hebrew relatives. But yet he was called to preach to the Gentiles or to the other nations. God's chosen nation, of course, is Israel. But Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles. So as we're in verse 7, and we see in verse 6, it speaks of testifying in due time. When we see in verse 7 that Paul was ordained a preacher or a herald, see the similarity there. To testify, to witness, to speak, to preach, to herald, to proclaim. We see how these words all tie in together. If you know Christ is your Savior, whether you are gifted to preach the word or not, you are still responsible and have a great privilege to give out the word, to proclaim the word, whether it be to an individual, whether it be in a various amount of ways, handing out a tract to someone that would tell them of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to a relative, giving someone a Bible, whatever. Not to be a preacher from the platform, that is not the limits of heralding the scripture. To proclaim the word is a broad subject. We see that we're not limited to just those that are preachers, but to those that are saved, we're to be a witness, to testify by our life and by our example and by speaking the words of the truth of Christ. And it's interesting that Paul here says that it's in parentheses in the King James after he says that he has been ordained a preacher and an apostle. He says, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Now, we see here that in 1 Corinthians would be a good place to turn. One did question the authority of Paul, and we see that Paul makes a stand in 1 Corinthians that makes it very clear that he is an apostle. And we see here that even though he called himself the least of the apostles, we see it as well, though, that he does defend the fact that God had called him to be an apostle, to be a preacher. We could look at a couple of portions in 1 Corinthians, but I would first want to read this in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. So Paul, although he looks at himself in a way that we could say is not prideful, which is the way that we should be, but he does defend the fact that he is an apostle. We see that he gives a testimony, as we may be able to look at here as well. In the book of Acts, he recalls his conversion, and he gives that defense to different ones as he's a prisoner. But let's look at the thought first in 1 Corinthians 7 of how Paul said he speaks the truth in Christ and lies not. Look at chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, and we see here on one of the subjects that is as difficult as you're going to find as far as finding Christians a place where they can agree on, Generally among believers, a subject that's hard to find common ground. Ones generally have a difficult time on the subject of marriage and divorce, and also a few other subjects, but this is one of the more difficult ones. And in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, we see in verse 12, Paul makes a statement here in the middle of the discussion about marriage and divorce. He says, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." Now, some have pulled that out of context and said, Paul's talking here, not the Lord, so therefore we don't really have to take heed to what he says here. My friend, let us take it in context. When he says, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord," we see that the Lord himself had spoken things upon this earth when he was here during his public ministry. He had spoken about areas of marriage and divorce. So when Paul was speaking here, he's merely just stating that here is something that is from God that the Lord himself has not spoken publicly yet. It's not saying that you don't have to listen to this, because as we see over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So, Paul, being appointed a herald and an apostle by God, when he speaks these things that are in the canonicity of scripture, written and recorded by the inspiration of God, by the God-breathed scripture, then what Paul says here is spoken by his mouth, his pen, but it's from the inspiration of God. I just wanted to note that, because we could also turn over to chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians and 37. You see, a lot of times ones try to deny things that are in scripture, and they'll come up with all kinds of different excuses so they won't have to hold to the word of God. People will say, "Well, Paul wasn't married," or "Paul was a widow," or whatever the case. So certainly he doesn't know how to talk about marriage. Well, my friend, again, the scripture is inspired by God. It doesn't matter whether Paul was married or not. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scripture is God-breathed. Whether Paul had been married and then a widower, or whether he had never been married, is not really important, because what is recorded in the scripture is God-breathed. Now, the scripture, all of it is not directly to you. Some of it may be speaking of Satan or of unbelievers, or some of it speaking to Christians. All of it is not to you, but all of it is for you. In other words, we can learn from the entirety of the scripture, but we have to rightly divide the word of truth. In 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it is, over here in verse 37, it says this: "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Here, Paul speaking again, and he's coming up and saying, if, you know, you've got a problem with what is being spoken here, it is of the Lord, not from myself. He says, "Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So it's not whether you agree with who Paul is, whether you should obey the scripture, but it's a matter of, do you acknowledge that the scripture is God-breathed, that it's inspired by God himself? We'll have to leave off there. We'll join back together tomorrow, Lord willing. Thank you. You've been listening to The Two Roads from Two Destinies Radio Ministry.